The best way to predict the future is to invent it. The young man in Kevin Bernard's robotics class who invented this Rubik's Cube solving robot is inventing his future, one project at a time. Can you imagine the tremendous problem solving and reflection this project required? If we would prepare our students with 21st century literacy skills, then we must teach them the value of reflection, because reflection is what allows us to learn from our experiences. It is an assessment of where we have been and where we want to go next. Assessment in the form of reflection by both the student and the teacher is a crucial part of every learning experience. Integrating assessment and instruction is one of the greater complexities of teaching and learning, but also one of the most valuable and rewarding. There are three key principles for integrating assessment and instruction that we'll take a look at in this module. First, use student-based assessment that makes students more responsible for reflecting on and assessing their own process, products, and performance. Here's a brief look at 8th grade English language arts teacher Tony Infantino's efforts to engage students in the assessment process by having them design rubrics for a poetry unit.
One of the things that I'm doing is having them create the rubrics on their own with some feedback from me. So the rubrics that they've been used to in the past are teacher-generated, and they're given to them ahead of time with predetermined set information. A lot of kids are very by the book, I call it, and so they try to please the teacher and do exactly what they want. And if you even have a criteria in there called creativity, a lot of them really don't understand what that is. What does creativity mean to the teacher? Because it might mean something different to me. So one of the things I found out as I've been teaching is that student feedback in that process is very helpful, because they get to, I think they really get to appreciate the fact that what they have to say matters, and that it has something to do with, it's very authentic to what they're doing as the product is concerned or the process is concerned. So that's one of the reasons why I have them participate in the feedback aspect. They get really excited about it too, because they're helping to create it from scratch, and then we meet together as a whole class and talk about what are some things, what are some ways of saying things differently. For example, if they're creating a poem from scratch, a lot of them will say, okay, it has to have two stanzas. Well, what I think they really are trying to say is they want it to be a quality poem, but they don't really know how to say that. So I say, what are you really trying to say with saying, I want to have two stanzas in order to be a quality poem? Well, after asking them lots of questions to get it out of them, you realize that's what they want. So then we start discussing as a class, all right, how are you going to determine if a poem is 5 lines versus 15 lines? Are you grading the poem based on length, or are you grading the poem based on what is the quality of the work that they've completed? Because length shouldn't really be an issue, or amount of lines. And so they really get to see what a teacher sees when they're evaluating, and I think that that helps in the long run for them to understand the product that they're creating in the future has to be meeting up to those standards, and standards that they're creating anyway. So it kind of alleviates some of the burden on the teacher to have to beat those ideals into the head because of the student, because they're already understanding that and comprehending that based on helping with the rubric.
He's like remembering back from when he was a kid, and it's telling about the past. In the last poem, he was more desperate. And
another thing that I like about the online rubric with the technology is that it allows me to track how the students are progressing over time, because we're going to chart that stuff, all the information that they gather and how they do in the rubrics through Excel, which is another component that they don't even know about yet. And that's one way that I'll be able to see their personal growth over time.
Second principle. Use reading and writing as a way to help students reflect and document that reflection. The written reflections become cognitive tools for additional thought. You'll see several good examples of this principle in our first video for this module that includes clips from interviews with teachers we've featured in this course, including math teacher Richard Bergner's composition book and Kevin Bernard's daily journal. Third, involve students in assessing the project or unit you've designed and implemented. Kevin Bernard, again our favorite robotics teacher, returns in this module to share how he assesses an inquiry project that includes a performance assessment as well as a journal and a presentation assessment. Kevin says when you're assessing students, you're really assessing yourself. An honest assessment can only help us improve as teachers. Robert Flanagan, a social studies teacher who taught us about media literacy in Module 5, describes an end-of-project group assessment that he uses to continue to evolve as a teacher.
All right, so let's talk about this movie project that we did.
I want to be a better teacher next semester than I am this semester. And if these kids can help me get better, why would I not use that to my advantage? After all, I'm trying to make them all better students. Why wouldn't I want them to make me a better teacher?
To do King Kong. Is there any history in this?
Yeah.
How?
They have games with Donkey Kong and they couldn't.
You know what? That may be, most people would look at that and say, gosh, that's like the most insane answer ever. But in actuality, it makes sense because it did influence our society to the point where we have a video game about a giant ape.
When the project was done, today was the crowning of the end of the project. We won't revisit it anymore unless a couple kids are still, you know, having trouble finishing and so on. And you know, that door stays open. What I asked them was basically two questions. One was, if you were me, what would you do differently with this project? How would you change it? I'm always looking for input on how to get better. And I just asked them, if this was your project, what would you do differently? And yeah, you get the answers of like, oh, we all get 100, or it should go from 4 pages to 2 pages or something like that. But then you get really great suggestions. And the one that I got most recently from one of my students, Serenity, was maybe we could do part of a movie together as a class, and then take what we've learned on our research on how to research and then go do our own project on our own. It's a fabulous idea. You know, it's the whole scaffolding idea of building them up. You know, I've talked about it in class. I've shown them, I've passed around examples of former papers. I've shown them clips of videos and talked about what I would do and what they would do and all that. But, you know, unless you do it yourself, maybe you just aren't getting it 100%.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing? Why?
It's a great idea. The second question that I always ask them is, if you were to do this project again as a student, what would you do differently? And, you know, you get some really good answers about that. You get like, well, maybe I would do my research first, then watch the movie. Or maybe I would read more about the movie before I watch it. Not necessarily research, but get an idea of what I'm going to watch before I watch it. So there are things to pass along. You know, I can, if I was to do this project again next week, I would probably, yes, I would definitely do the dry run with the students. And I would probably give them some readings or some focus questions of what they should be looking at when they go to do their research.
But you said you did your research before you watched the movie.
The beauty of Robert's strategy is that he gains valuable feedback that he can use to develop a better unit and become a better teacher. But student feedback is also important throughout the implementation of a project or unit. Strategies that can be used are as simple as exit slips, with students noting how the work is progressing, to even blogs or surveys. Rhonda Vanderwerth, who shared her WebQuest in Module 3, spoke of finding success with online surveys that queried students about their reactions to the learning experience. Students are motivated by online surveys, and they, as everyone else, really seem to appreciate being asked for their opinions. When we embed assessment as a natural, organic part of the instructional process, then students do become valuable assessors of their own learning and of our teaching. Literacy takes on a real and authentic purpose, and we give our students and ourselves valuable experience in assessing where we've been so we can move forward and invent the future.